Hi guys, welcome to Teachers Off Duty. For those of you who may not be super familiar with us, I'm Rebecca Rogers. I'm R Rogers World on all of my social media platforms.
I'm Lauren Woolley, Mrs. Woolley in fifth on all social media.
I'm Bree Richardson, Honest Teacher Vibes on all social media platforms.
And I'm Tal Williams, or Mr. Williams Pre-K on, I think, Mr. Williams Pre-K on all social media. So I'm going to lead discussion today, which feels kind of fun.
But Tal has the talking stick.
I have the talking stick.
Tell me about it. It's an elementary thing.
Yeah. I'm about to say,
the only person who has the stick can talk.
That would never work in middle school.
That would not work in high school either. Absolutely not.
The talking stick would be thrown into somebody's face.
Now y'all in trouble because somebody threw the talking stick across the room. None of y'all. All y'all be quiet.
It's going to look a little different today because we're going to talk about advocating for educators and teachers, which is obviously very important to us as educators. And it's something that can be a little nerve-wracking to get a little political or a lot of political. But I think that we would be remiss and... And we wouldn't be doing using our platform to the fullest if we weren't supporting
you all. It's a necessary conversation.
100%. Yeah. So later in the episode, we're going to talk to Ben Yoder, who is a music teacher in Indianapolis and part of the Indiana State Teachers Association. Mm-hmm. He's on the board there. And we're going to talk about some of the bills, which I know probably every listener who's a teacher who has kids in schools has heard about. But we're going to specifically talk about the Indiana bill 1134 in... I think it's in the Senate now. And then the Florida nickname Don't Say Gay bill.
I also think that it would be really important, you know, a lot of our listeners aren't teachers. And I think there are a lot of non-teachers out there that really don't understand how detrimental these bills are. Not just to the kids, but to our education system. Because at some point when you bully teachers enough and push them enough, who is going to be in the room with your kids, you know? Do you want trained professionals in those classrooms, or do you want them to just say, oh, any kind of grown adult that has nothing better to do on a Tuesday, please come.
I'm gonna tell you, these bills have teachers running for the bills. I'm gonna tell you, if I was living in a state where these were passed, I would be like, okay, here's my letter of resignation. I'm out.
Absolutely.
Well, I think it also shows how detached these people are from the classroom.
Correct. Absolutely.
Like, even, like, obviously none of these people have ever taught, or they would know how unbelievably ridiculous it is.
Right.
And it furthermore shows how people have no idea what goes into us doing our job.
Exactly.
No. And I think the thing is, too, is it's easy for listeners to be like, oh, I live in, you know, Wisconsin. But the way that bills work, especially these bills, is there's test states, right? And we've seen this with so many other bills that are passed. And so certain states test it out. And if it passes, then other states adopt that. So this is maybe something that's happening right now in specifically Indiana and Utah and Florida. But it's not
it's going to be
nationwide.
I just can't understand the thought process behind it.
The first thing that came to my mind when I heard these bills was all about control.
We'll be completely transparent, honest with you all. We, this episode comes out in a few days, so it's not like it's immediately coming out. So these bills are ever adapting and changing, and language is changing, things are being taken out. And I think, although that is important to know that some of these bills will be a hollow shell of what they are now, it is important to know what the original content was, because that is what a lot of lawmakers want and intended.
Right. And also hear us say this. We are by no means saying that we are experts on this.
No.
We are not, like, we don't know every single thing that the bill says.
Exactly.
But we feel like as educators, we need to discuss like what we think about it, our perspective about it. And we have, obviously, we're teachers off duty. We have a lot of teachers that follow our podcast. And I think it would be like, it wouldn't be a good idea for us to not have a voice, like have said something about.
No one in the government is asking teachers, how do you feel about this
they
bill? But we're
going to
let you know
don't care.
Anyway.
Right.
Absolutely. 100% don't we're going to let you know.
Yeah.
So in the original bill, like I said, because I don't know what's been revised.
Which one?
We're going to talk Indiana first.
Okay.
So I taught in Indiana. That's where I started teaching. That's where I grew up. I taught there for 5 years for the Head Start program. So when this bill was being passed, I was kind of like, it's Indiana. They great. You know, they want like two doozy pizza or something like that. You know, I'm like, it's fine. So like we had Mike Pence. So like it's fine. Everything will calm down. And
what
then
does this bill say?
So when my colleagues reached out, they were saying there was like teachers would be required on June 30th to have lesson plans in for the next school year.
I'm like, is that a joke? Bro, I don't know what I'm teaching.
I didn't mean to interrupt
because it's so comical.
When I first heard that, I legit laughed out loud because that is so ridiculous and such so against best practices that it's...
Well, and that's the thing. So it's not even like teachers are lazy and don't want to do it. Best practice tells you, because this is the other thing. So you have your lesson plans in turn June 30th and you cannot deviate from these lesson plans.
That
and
is
you have
ridiculous.
To print them out, turn them in, take them to the office, because parents then will comb through and tell you what they think is appropriate or not appropriate to teach. The wild thing is, parents already have this autonomy because if you look at the state standards in each state, it tells you the objectives of what we will teach throughout the school year.
Exactly.
So this was just overreach. So June 3rd, you turn it in.
Yeah.
Here's the problem with that. Now, I'm going to talk about it from as a pre-K and then open it up to, I want you guys to tell me what the problem with your, so as a pre-K teacher, we have different objectives. A lot of what we do is social and emotional. And I'm just going to talk about lesson plan. We'll get to the social and emotional aspect of the bill later. If I want to do a nature walk on September 12th and it rains,
right,
but we need to go on that nature walk, I can't just do it the next day because it's not on September 13th's lesson plan. June 30th, babes, you better know if it's going to rain on September 12th. And
which
if
is
not,
freaking ridiculous.
Right. And that it's in Indiana. So it will snow October 20th. And you'll get 3 feet of snow because it's lake effect. And then February 1st, it's 70 degrees. It's in the, I don't know. So like, it's just, weather's just a small example of that. Now, for someone who teaches English, right? Mm-hmm. At the sixth grade level?
Seventh grade, unfortunately.
Seventh grade.
I missed my sixth grade.
I think if someone isn't grasping something that you're learning about grammatically, right? If they're just not grasping how to properly use a semicolon, you can't go back and reteach it.
That is the most insane thing ever, because with state testing and just testing in general, we do data-driven instruction. So we have like a pacing guide, but if our kids' scores are showing that they are not doing well in a particular standard, we don't move on with the pacing. So, I mean, it just is so, like, it really makes me mad.
It takes that whole fundamental part of teaching of check for understanding and don't like go back, and like that's such a large aspect of check for understanding, make sure they got it, and it doesn't even matter because whether they got it or not,
you can just throw all your formative assessments out the window
because what's the purpose of using them? Right. What's the purpose of using a formative assessment
not a point.
To see if the kids got it, because when the formative assessment shows me they didn't get it, I can't go back in
and then at the end of the year they're gonna look at the data and go, well, why did the kids struggle on all of these things? Well, I would have been fired
at least 20 times over this year just for reteaching.
How many times have you changed lesson plans?
So
the
many.
Day of.
Oh, many.
The day of, because you're I've done things where I'm like, okay, we're going to go on a leaf hunt. Everyone's going to find a leaf. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about it. And I wake up and there's, 12 inches of snow.
Right.
Or I'm like, hey, everyone, we're going to do this as a class project today. And I have 12 kids show up because there's things like pandemics that happen.
Teaching through a whole panorama. That.
Well, there have been days,
Mariana out here still acting up.
I never get tired of you saying that. Like, as many times as I've heard you say it, I never get tired of it.
There have been days, teaching high school social studies. A lot of my kids are older. They watch the news. Right. They want to be involved. They want to ask questions. And when things happen in the world, there have been so many times that I've just scrapped what we were supposed to do for that day to talk about
what's relevant,
what's going on, and 100%. What information can we find, and what do you think about what's going on, and having the kids, even the kids who disagree on events going on in the world, have them talk about it with each other. I wouldn't be able to do that anymore.
Oh, you wouldn't be able to do that all, because I have a piece of the legislation for each of you to talk about. So so you can't talk about any of that under this bill, because you cannot talk about politics. You cannot talk about political parties.
How the hell are you supposed to teach social studies? And blank that word out. How are you supposed to teach social studies? You can't talk about politics.
You also cannot talk about anything that might possibly make someone feel inferior. So, for example, if you are talking about the civil rights movement you have a child in class who's like, not all white people are bad, stop teaching it, because that person now feels uncomfortable about the conversation. You don't grow in comfort. You grow in uncomfortability.
Right.
We have these conversations about the Holocaust and about the civil rights movement right. and about queer history.
Right.
Because although it can make some children comfortable, we need to know what we did wrong so we don't repeat these problems.
Right. And we, like, okay, teaching fifth grade and, you know, currently as we're filming, it is Black History Month. We are heavily going into the civil rights movement. Right. And, you know, we just read a book called The 1619 Project, and it was all about, like, the time when Africans were taken from their country and brought over as slaves.
Right.
And, of course, it's going to make children feel uncomfortable. But I literally preface by saying, this is something that truly happened right. in the history of the world. It's important for us to learn about these things so that we can grow and we can become better human beings right. because of it. And it's not, you know, to shame anyone. No. It's, right. you know,
it's just to be aware. It's to be aware.
Who are these people that is coming up with this stuff? Because how detached do you have to be from the education system to right. make something like this? Especially saying, oh, the parents can go in and decide X, Y, and Z about the lesson plan.
Okay, the baby, parents go to college. My thing is, my bachelor's degree, right, my master's degree. No,
what if right. Susie's mom likes one thing, but then that's Gretchen's mom is like, no, I don't question. Like. Right. Like, so that's I my, have that's 40 my question. Kids right. in a classroom.
That's my question.
Who do I go with?
Right.
And that's differentiate. You better differentiate for all 40 of those kids.
Yeah.
But seriously though, like on a serious tip, like how do they expect us to be able to lesson plan? Because if a parent, we got 30 kids in a class, mm-hmm. especially you teaching public school, but some of them kids be sitting on the ceiling. That's what I'm saying. Like admin will just come add yeah. five more kids. Like where you want them to sit? They ain't got no more seats. And so my thing is, like, if we got kids, like, let's say 15 of the kids, right. their parents said they can learn about X, Y, and Z. The other 15, their parents said they can't learn about this. Sir, what?
Then
okay.
You can't learn
so
about,
what are we doing?
I have a question about the bill because, you know, I'm from North Carolina. You know, I pay a little bit more attention to North Carolina legislature. But I heard a rumor about Indiana. I really have a question about it. Because I really want to believe that is not true. Yeah. That the idea of, like, not talking about political ideology and making anyone feel inferior, that it included, like, Nazi ideology, and you can't label that as bad or anything.
You can't
like
label
that.
Anything as bad. You can't label anything that's happened in American history as bad or good. And I even believe that.
What in the Hellman's mayonnaise?
No.
Sponsored. No. No.
That's some unseasoned chicken energy right there.
As a world history teacher, like I teach world history, I teach American history. As the granddaughter of a Holocaust survivor, you expect me to not say, oh, genocide is bad. No.
You can't say You can say genocide is bad. You can't
but
say.
But I can't say Nazi ideology is bad.
Because that makes a group of people feel inferior.
Oh, I'm sweating.
That's, okay, that's just morality, though. That's not, like
we can argue political. A lot, but it's not, like, up for debate. Nazis are bad people. So like,
absolutely.
Killing 11 million people is bad.
Right. Yeah, like, that's a little gray on your resume, babes. Like, that's probably a no for me. But it's and the weird thing was there was a legislator quoted in Indiana specifically referencing, like, you know, Nazis are bad. We get that. But like, there's no but, like the second you said but and Nazi, yeah. you're done. Like, that's right. You're finished.
And like, why you're do you done. How do you know that they're bad? Because you learned that in school. Right. Because you learned right. that you in school. And these kids books. Won't. And these kids won't.
Correct.
Because normally killing people is bad.
Right. Right.
It's against the law for a reason.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. The people that kill people are right. the bad people.
Right.
Like, but it's also it's against the law to kill someone, but it's also against the law to say that is bad.
Right. You guys had read a book or an excerpt, was it?
Yeah.
Okay. So this brings up another thing. So books in Indiana, if there is a book that has been banned or a book that is deemed inappropriate for children to read. Now, I say inappropriate and mine completely like numbs me that we have books on almost every subject there that are board books, if you mm-hmm. know what a board book is, mm-hmm. That is from 0 to 3 years old and then up. And what you're saying is you're saying teachers don't have the autonomy and the training right. and the schooling to know what books are appropriate for students and not. Not only that, but there are books specifically written for those age groups.
Right.
So because you're an English teacher and you teach middle school,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot about books you can and can't read
right.
For various reasons. If it has a queer character, if it depicts the Holocaust as one of them, for a multitude of
Dang,
reasons.
Dang, I'm getting fired again.
I know.
Man, I would have been fired.
If you, though, if a librarian were to give a child a book, they not fired, the not the school gets sued, that librarian would be put in jail.
All
we're
right.
not talking about.
So what you're saying is that America wants to get rid of schools because there aren't going to be any teachers left.
That's what I'm saying. Why would they pass something at a time like this? Like, dude, are y'all going to teach our kids?
Yeah.
Because we saw y'all try to teach our kids, baby, and it did not go well.
We saw that when we were home.
Y'all called us crying.
And I already know there's going to be people in the comment section that are like, I know a bad teacher. I know a teacher that gave them something inappropriate. And I'm going to tell you right now, if there are people out there like that, it's because you're scaring the good teachers away. Like, if you keep making the good teachers leave, right. that's going to be the kind of people you have in schools that are left.
And what really bothers me, not only, you know, the whole thing, but everything. What bothers me about this is that, like, we didn't just, you know, graduate high school and then decide to go back and teach.
Right.
We had to go through 4 years of intense
at
training
yeah.
and classes. Like, I know for elementary ed, I had to take so many children's literature courses and, like analyze
my husband's a children's
text.
Literature professor. He's
exactly.
literally has a PhD
right.
in children's
and
literature.
And how many teachers have master's degrees?
I have a master's degree in reading and literacy, but you're going to sit here and tell me that I can't choose a book that is age appropriate for the children that I teach, and that is just asinine.
This just makes me so mad. Like, legit, I'm pissed off right now.
And Brie, as a parent, too, I think what really strikes me is the bill looks so good. It's like we're getting parents involved in their children's education. You have that. You have
You've already had that.
Those who are listening, my eyes just rolled
right.
the back of my
because
head.
Because
right.
it makes sense. Right. If I was a parent in this state, right? Because it's not, when you read these bills, it's not even like when I read them, I need for, this is why like the you know, the Indiana State Teachers Association and lawyers who help with, you know, affiliate themselves with teachers in Indiana, interpret the bill for these people and say, hey, the way you worded this would cause this, you know, like the way you worded this section of the bill means this actually. Do they know that? Absolutely. But it looks great to be like parents can look through this. They're, you know, and again, yes, we want parents to be at the school
and
to be involved, but they already have that. So take those opportunities of doing the parent teacher conferences and back to school night, go online to your state's, you know, education website and look at what the curriculum is.
And there's a difference between being involved and controlling a classroom, because you are one parent with one kid and a class of 40. You don't get to dictate.
And you are not
the other 40
expert
on
the subject.
Ain't the expert at all.
You are not the expert on the subject. I'm sorry. Unless you're a parent that is also an educator, that also has a bachelor's or master's degree in education, you do not have any grounds to speak on any of these topics.
Right. I wish I had a dollar for every single time. High school social studies, I'm the subject that the parents don't trust, you know? I wish I had a dollar for every parent that said, I want your lessons to be approved by me. And I tell them, everything is online. You can go look at every single thing, and they don't. They don't. They don't want to look. They want me to tell them every day, this is what we're doing. But they don't want to look themselves. They won't look at the state standards.
Right.
They won't go look at my website. They won't go look at the videos that I have posted. They don't actually want to look. They just want to yell at somebody.
It's just so idiotic to me that they would do this without consulting any teachers.
Well, the weird thing is they have so
idiotic to me.
They did that purposely.
I know, but I'm just saying, your action plan and actually being able, like the law that you're trying to pass, and then people actually being able to execute these things.
Right.
They like, it's not sustainable at all. Like the first, when are teachers supposed to be expected to do this? This upcoming school year?
I don't know.
If it would pass, I think June 30th of 2022, they'd have to have lesson plans.
I pray to God somebody up in there that's voting on this got some kind of good sense.
I know that people who follow me, like, you hear this all the time. I know you hear it from me. You're aware. You know what I did. But, like, during online learning, when I made those animated content videos, one of them took me at a minimum 18 hours. Like, that was a lot of work.
Girl, I ain't doing that kind of work.
Well, it's because I loved my job, you know? Like, I loved teaching kids. I loved creating, well, I can't even think of the word that I'm looking for, but something that everyone had equal access to, right, whether or not they could attend class, not attend class, look at it later, tomorrow, review, whatever. Yeah. I wanted it to be as accessible and knowledgeable as possible. You're telling me you would rather have something worse, something less than that, because you got it June 30th, than me putting my all into having it. And, like, I was only a day or two ahead of my plan. Right. Like, I was up. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I didn't even sleep at night because I wanted these things to be ready for my kids the next day.
No, I'm going to. You would throw all that engagement out
the window. One thing I know, two for sure. I know, I know. I told you once, I told you twice. I've written a lesson plan on a McDonald's
receipt. Okay, I'm going to be. But one thing about me, I'm going to Starbucks before work. Yeah. I'm late. If I, and I'm going to be it.
Like, you're telling
me? If I'm late for Starbucks, it's your problem. I don't know how to explain it. Like, I walk in and you're like, tell you're late. I'm going to make it your problem.
Put it on your lesson plan for June.
Yeah, for June.
June, I will arrive every day 10 minutes late. And I got to follow it.
These parents that are saying, like, these bills are to make sure that they have the best education for their kids, but they're not, because you're saying you would rather something that you can do really quickly months beforehand.
Right.
Like, instead of something that's going to take me the time to actually create it.
Well, and I think of things, like, especially when it comes to, like, best practice, right? So, like, it's always adapting. And, like, I didn't because my kids were so young, but I'm sure that there are teachers out there who, like, have adapted things, like, maybe, like, a fun TikTok trend into their class or such. And, like, this is,
you know, for engagement, for relevancy.
Right. So then we bring into the, and this is specifically, I mean, this is for anyone, I guess, but we don't have to share the conversation, but we were talking, me and Brie, earlier about students and about social and emotional stuff. Mm-hmm. As a pre-K teacher, my job is to make sure the kids are social and emotionally ready to learn so they can learn. Because if they're not emotionally ready to learn, I don't care if they know their ABCs, 1, 2, 3, their address, and all this stuff. In Indiana, unless the parent gives you written permission, you cannot talk to any students about anything other than academics.
So, okay. This, again, goes back to, if you are not the expert on the subject, don't speak about it. No. Because any teacher will tell you, no child is coming to that school ready to learn if they're having social issues.
Right.
Not at all. I can yell, you know, multiplication until I'm blue in the face. Not a single thing is going to stick because they are too worried about what's happening at home, what's happening with a friend in class. Yeah, mm-hmm. And unless I sit them outside in the hall and get down and sit crisscross applesauce on the floor with them and let them spew out everything that's going on.
Can you imagine a kid trying to come talk to you and you're like, is this about education? Sorry there, bub. I know you're crying.
Was it about the lesson plans I turned in June 30th?
I can't talk to you about it.
Well, I'm also just going to be blunt.
Is that here because of your math test?
Yeah.
No, I don't want to hear about it.
No.
To be straight up, and, like, I'm sorry if this offends you. I really don't care. But sometimes, I'm really not.
I was going to say sorry.
Sometimes these parents are the problem that the kids need to talk to us about. Like, you're telling me I can't talk to the kids about the mom who's hitting them at home or about the parent that's abusing them, because I'm not going to get written permission from that parent.
That's the whole pre-K pause of it all, right? Because here's the thing, the moment that we stop for a second, because that is why you have to think of why are these like stipulations in the law being passed?
And it's cover up someone's feelings.
So this is it's about, you know, when things are being passed by legislators, right? So why would you not want a student to go in? And as mandated reporters, I can tell you, working for the Head Start program, I was calling CPS every other
week,
if not
more. I've made numerous calls to, like, CPS.
I probably made well over 100. And so it's hard and it's devastating, but it is essential to the job. And very seldom do you have a child coming to school saying exactly what happened.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You have a conversation with them and the conversation turns into this or turns into that. I can't imagine, me being a queer Puerto Rican from Indiana, school was my safe place.
Same, yeah.
And
same.
School was a place where I could go to my teachers and confide in them. And I don't think, and I'm sorry if I'm getting, like, mad, I don't think they realize how dangerous and how potentially deadly this is to students who need to talk to someone away from their home. And they walk into a building and they're being denied that. Now, I'm not talking about just teachers. I'm talking about the social workers. I'm talking about your school counselors who cannot have...
Even the school counselors and the social workers will essentially be like eradicated because that's literally their job.
Well, the thing is, how can we be mandated reporters if they can't tell us.
I had a video about like a very abusive parent that I encountered, and you know, the kid is in a much better area now, but I've had a lot of social workers and counselors comment on it, how terrifying it was when COVID started and online learning started, how the calls to CPS stopped because the the teachers were not in contact with the kids the same way, and how scary that was because the abuse didn't stop, but the teachers just weren't able to find it and identify it
because
and that
the
is
kids
exactly
was at
what this bill is doing is taking away that opportunity again. And you know, this fires me up too, and I've thought about this a lot, and I know I vocalized it to some friends and family, but you know, all jokes aside, I'm just going to be completely honest. You don't get to where you are in the government and in the legislature by being completely stupid, right?
Oh, for sure.
You have some kind of intelligence.
Right.
And no one who has any inkling of intelligence looks at the trends in education, looks at the teacher shortages that have been increasing and growing year after year, and thinks, this is working. Let's continue to take things away. Like in our state, anyone who started after me, there's no retirement. What they're planning, anyone who starts at, anyone
who starts for real?
No retirement. Benefits are going away.
Wait, for teachers?
Y'all can come to Ohio. We still have retirement here.
Wait. How can they do that, though? Don't school, if you're full-time, don't they have to provide some type of, like, requirement? I'm sorry, retirement.
I don't know all the details. Because, again, I was grandfathered in. So I was like,
I didn't hear about this.
Good gosh.
How can they even do that, though?
I don't, again, I don't know all the details because I was grandfathered in. And so I was just kind of like, oh my God, I'm safe.
If you think about it, like, I don't think that they're required to. I think it's a benefit of working there.
But like, if.
Why would you take away somebody's retirement, though? Like, how are they supposed to live?
Well, that's kind of the point. Is as someone who's
intelligent, is retirement a union thing?
No, we ain't got no union. If you say union in Mississippi, they're going to fire you,
baby. That's why I was asking, because we are a union state. So I know Becca, yours was not, correct?
No, we are right to work.
Right, and you guys, okay, I didn't know, but we are a union state. So I didn't know if that was a retirement.
The question is, what's the goal? And that's terrifying as a young educator. What, 4 years in? What is the goal here?
It's just to save money.
It's like, what is education going to look like in 5 years, 10 years? Why are young teachers supposed to dedicate their lives to this career when this is already being taken away now at year 4? What is it going to look like at year 20? Why would I want to dedicate my future?
We're going to go back to living at the schoolhouse.
And you know what? With all this going on, you know, God forbid any of these pass and become law. But like, if they did... And then teachers were doing what the law stated by not talking to children and having their lesson plans. Then we'd have parents complaining about us not adapting our plans to their kids' needs and us not dealing with their kids' emotional damage.
Your kid could be diagnosed with ADHD halfway through the school year, but your lesson plans don't really
reflect that. And what about there was some bill, I think in Utah, that, you know, if a teacher were to change their plans less than 5 days before they were supposed to teach it, because, you know, they had to have their set plans for parents to look through as well, the parents can sue
the teacher at the school.
I'd be like, sue me, honey. I don't have very much money to begin with.
And I asked Avery.
It's part of the school because they know teachers.
What are you going to sue them for? We already don't make anything.
You can sue me for the $100 that I make.
Some of y'all can't spell sue, so you don't.
I asked Avery, my husband's an attorney, and I asked him, I was talking to him about this. I said, how would this work? And he said that he would really have to look into it because it really depended. Would you be able to sue the teacher or the school? But I'll be honest, with the way things are, I don't think the school would cover some of those teachers.
That's ridiculous.
Like, I think it depends. I don't know.
The suing thing is funny because in Indiana, I don't know about the suing, but what I do know is that if any of the teachers find to be violating those, they lose their teaching license.
Not even just their job, their whole license. Your career license, over. Done.
So that also takes us to there's another bill in Indiana. And it'll segue into some of the Don't Say Gay in Florida. So Don't Say Gay in Florida is essentially not letting schools teach anything about LGBTQ+. gender. I think there might be race in there too, but it was kind of nicknamed Don't Say Gay because that was the a huge part of it. Mm-hmm. And I don't get it because again,
like they're getting so hyped this episode.
Yeah, they deemed it as being they don't want to have conversations with kids that are deemed inappropriate. And again, there's books, and I've put them on my social media
that are age appropriate
for kids. So it has nothing to do with age appropriateness. If you talk about queer people, clearly it'll make your child gay. Now I'm gonna tell you something. I learned a lot about
because talking about
people.
Black people automatically make your child black.
I was gonna say I learned a lot about straight people growing up, and I'm not that. So I don't think that's the catch-all. But it's so like I said before, visibility. Why I paint my nails in the classroom? Visibility matters, mm-hmm. right? And so when you're in a classroom or you're at home watching TV and you see someone who looks or acts like you, it's validating.
Representation matters.
I can't imagine being in a classroom as a young queer person, mm-hmm. hearing that this bill was passed and knowing that it's illegal to learn about myself in the classroom.
That's terrible.
Because what it does is when you go to your teacher to talk about this and the teacher's not allowed to talk to the student about it, again, it's not making that kid who is gay or lesbian or bi or trans, it's not making them any less themselves. It is making them feel bad about
themselves.
And that, again, is dangerous because queer children are way more likely to have depression mm-hmm. and commit suicide than other children.
That's true.
So when you have a group of marginalized children be further marginalized, this isn't, you're not keeping kids safe.
No.
You're doing
the
opposite.
All of this reeks of somebody who was sitting in their office and didn't have nothing to do and had to look like they was doing their job. So they was like, let me come up with something.
100?
Yeah. That's like people at county office when they send us most stuff to do because they sitting in their little offices with no work to do. This what this sound like,
right?
And like the y'all scariest ain't had part do. For me is, you know, I had a kid a couple years ago who I was pulled aside and I was told this kid tried to hurt themselves, and I was a mess the whole weekend mm-hmm. thinking of what could I have done. I'm like already getting emotional about it. Like what could I have done? Is there something that I missed? And I cannot imagine the fear of being concerned
Wow,
what is going to be the implications of these bills these kids?
You're either going to have teachers, one of two things. They're either going to leave willingly mm-hmm. or they're going to be fired.
Right.
Yeah.
But you're not going to have, you know, it's at a time where there's already a shortage.
Right.
It is just absolutely. And again, the way that these bills are written, aren't necessarily saying like we can talk about gay people. It's like we don't want to talk about anything about sexual orientation, gender, and this, if that's not age appropriate. It's like age appropriateness doesn't exist because we have people who have PhDs and doctorates and not only degrees but life experiences that know how to write things. Here's the thing, trust not only your students, trust your kids as parents, because I promise you they know and they understand more than what you think, and they're more empathetic than what you think. So we have Ben Yoder, like I talked about earlier. He is a music teacher in Indianapolis, and he's part of the Indiana State Teachers Association Board. He gave us a little 4.5-minute clip. He's going to tell us a little bit more about some of these bills and ways that you can best advocate for teachers. So take a listen, and we'll be right back with that.
Hi, all. It's Ben Yoder here, middle school music teacher from Indianapolis and a board member of the Indiana State Teachers Association. Thank you so much for giving me a couple minutes to talk about some of these terrible bills that are moving through Indiana's legislature right now. I want to start off by saying that a lot of these bills are popping up in states all over the country. So it's very clear that this is a coordinated effort by enemies of public education and folks who want to take it down and who want to dismantle it. And so we see the same bills with the same language popping up all over the place. Indiana and Florida are two of the hotbeds. These are places where these folks like to test and see whether these bills are passable. And so I think it's important to make sure that we let them know that they're not, that these are not good bills and that these are not good policy. There are two bills we're battling pretty heavily here in Indiana. The first one is HB 1041, and 1041 has to do with participation in school sports. And it is a bill that basically bans trans girls from being able to participate in girls' sports teams. This bill is obviously very discriminatory on its face. There's no question about that. But it's posing as a bill to create a more level and fair playing field. But as we know, that's not really what what they're trying to do here. They're trying to erase trans girls from existence. And so we are battling hard against this bill. This bill has already passed out of our House side of the legislature, has moved to the Senate side, and the Senate committee, the Education Committee, has recommended that it pass. So it is, will go on to the full Senate. And if it passes there, and the governor signs it, that means that it will move into law. So that's one we are trying very hard to stop and kill. The second one is HB 1134. And this one is an omnibus bill. It deals with a lot of educational issues. It's called Various Educational Matters. But the biggest things that it will do is it will stop teachers from being able to accurately discuss history, or accurately discuss and freely discuss issues of race, issues of perhaps gender identity and sexual orientation, issues of a political nature, like if you're covering in a history class political parties or covering, you know, political philosophies. This is going to stifle that. And they're doing this on purpose. The bill is written very ambiguously so that it doesn't specifically ban any specific things, because obviously we know that there's a big chat happening in the country now about critical race theory, CRT. It doesn't mention CRT at all. And so, you know, this bill is designed to scare teachers into not teaching accurate things and not having the conversations we need to be having with kids. It will stifle the inquiry process, and it will really slow down the good work that educators have been trying to do to make education and the world a more fair and equitable place. And so it's a very dangerous bill. In addition to that, it also will hamper schools and school mental health professionals from being able to provide services to kids who really need them. And that's a serious problem. Anybody who teaches in a school knows that we are often the first place where kids will reveal or talk about some of the mental health issues or abuse issues that they're facing. And this bill will really hamper our ability to be able to get to the bottom of some of that stuff and get kids the help they need. So these are both terrible bills, and there are other ones happening as well. But those are the two worst ones, I think, right now that we're battling. For your folks who are listening to this podcast, I would say that there goes the school bell. I would say that the best thing you can do is just gather up your allies. Find people in these states, here in Indiana or in Florida, where find allies to write and email and call and tweet storm and storm the legislative buildings to get these legislators to understand that this is not what we want, and it's not who we are, and it's not what good educational policy is. And so that's the best thing you can do. I know we like to say our jobs are not political, right? Teaching isn't political. Well, it is, because policymakers make the laws which govern how you teach and what you teach. So thank you so much for using your platform for this, folks. I really appreciate it. And tell a special shout out to you as one of your former teachers. I am very proud of you. Thank you so much again. And let's beat these bills.
So Ben, full disclosure, was one of my teachers growing up. So yeah, I love it. And he's actually not much older than me. I think he's like 4 years older than me, which is, it's a fun thing. But he's amazing. He's awesome. We need more teachers like that out there. But it's good to see that we have people, and people like I looked up to, that are really advocates. I don't know. It's a great feeling. But I hope that some of the tips, like he had said, if you're in Indiana or if you're in Florida or you're in any of these states that you see that this is coming, talk to your legislators, call, email. They did on Monday, Valentine's Day, they had a bunch of teachers in red and anyone standing outside of the courthouse just so they could see safely. Outside of the courthouse, so they could see. We need anyone getting crazy.
No.
So they could see the numbers. They can see the faces of the people that the bill is affecting. So I think that is an important thing to know, to write and call and make sure that even if you're not a teacher, even if you're not a parent,
it still affects your community.
It still affects your
community.
We have
the right to protest for a reason.
We have the right to protest.
And even if you're in a state where these bills aren't like prevalent now,
keep
your ears open, because that does not mean that next week.
Right. Like you were saying, test states, you know,
right.
if
right.
if we don't fight for these test states right now, it could be, you know, your state. Like right now, nothing's going on in Ohio right now. That doesn't mean I'm not hype about Indiana.
Right.
Right. Oh, 100%. Like, girl, it's your neighbor. Like,
it's my neighbor.
Yeah. And whether you like it or not, like whether you're, I mean, I know there are people out there who just really dislike teachers. Even though I don't really understand it, you know that it's not just about advocating for teachers. This is also for your kids. If you don't have, again, it's all about who you want with your kids all day long. Do you want trained professionals who want to be there, who know what they're doing, who are trained? Or do you want some Joe Schmo that, like, oh, it's an adult body, so we're just going to stick them in the room? They might have a criminal record. I don't know, but it's somebody.
Surely they would do a background check.
At some point, they don't care. They just want a babysitter.
I think, as we close up the episode, I think it's important to note that I know I don't want to speak for everyone. I don't apologize for the episode. I don't want to apologize for being political because, as Ben Yoder said, and as it just is, teaching is political.
Yeah.
As my friend Kylie Ham says, teaching is a form of advocacy, and every day you're in there and you're teaching children, you're advocating. Mm-hmm. So, as we close out the episode, I want to thank everyone for listening. This deviated from our regular happy comedy. It'll be back. But this is
kind of comical that these are bills.
Oh, it's comical. It's something. It's dark comedy. I want you to thank you guys for listening. If you know of resources that people can use to advocate best for educators, comment them. But we'll be back next week with some laughs.
But in the meantime, start writing those letters.
Yeah.
Start writing those letters. And we would love for y'all to follow. Legislators need to hear it.
Yeah, you're right. We would love for y'all to follow us on all our social media platforms. We're on Instagram and TikTok as Teachers Off Duty Podcast and YouTube.
Hey, I got a fun announcement.
Ooh.
Merch is coming. Don't you start that rumor. No. But we will be having some merch coming out real soon. So make sure that you keep in touch with all of our socials because that will be out and then it's going to go real fast. So make sure that you grab some while you can.
We've had so many people ask about merch. I'm really excited.
I can't wait. I'm going to get all of it.
We so appreciate you guys. We love you all. We will see you next week and we hope you have a fabulous rest of your week.
Bye, best friends.
Bye.